This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome back to Thoughts on the Table, the audio blog on food and food culture. Paolo here, your host as usual, and with me today a new guest, Wendy Holloway from Flavor of Italy. Hi Wendy, good morning.
Good morning, Paolo, and thank you so much for including me in your podcast. I'm thrilled to be here with you today.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure to have you, Wendy. So Wendy is a podcaster. She does recipe development, food and travel in Italy. And that's the theme of my podcast. As you know, we talk a lot about Italy. It's not the only theme, but we talk about food and food culture. And certainly Italy has a lot of both.
Yes.
So Wendy, as usual, when I have a new guest, I would ask you if you could please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit your story, how you ended up in Italy.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm an American. I grew up until I was about 12 years old in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then my family moved to England, where I finished up my middle school and high school and lived there over a decade. And I became fiercely attached to the UK.
Interesting.
Although I went to an American school, the American school in London, but that really was very important in my life.
Fantastic.
And then I returned to the States and went to university, ended up getting a master's in business and working in an international bank. And I sort of thought erroneously, I believe, well, I have this international background, so international banking would be great. But that is mostly finance, although it did give me lots of opportunity to travel. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a decade. I was a vice president for a rather large American bank. And one of the countries that I covered was Italy.
I see.
And on a trip here, I was introduced by one of my work colleagues to an Italian man who has been my husband for about 35 years.
He's an
aerospace engineer. And that proceeded along, and we decided to get married. And I made a proposal to the bank to open an office in Rome, which I did. I opened a finance company. But to backtrack, I was born with a passion for food. My mother was, I would say, a very challenged cook, kind of terrifying in the kitchen. So I have no idea where it came from. It was just some kind of an inborn thing. So I think the very first thing I made, Paolo, was yeast cinnamon rolls. And I was about 8 years old. I did them from a cookbook just out of passion. When I look back on it, it seems almost incredible that I managed to do that. And I had a garden, a kitchen garden and everything. Unusual also for the American culture. But then, so fast forwarding, once I was married, I carried that passion with me. And what a better place to live than Italy. Who knows? Maybe that's why I decided to be with my husband, because of the food culture. Who knows? But so in addition to my bank work, we had a child and I started a baby products company. Oh. And that was just a few years thing. But all the time, I was passionate about food things. And one of the things I loved and love to this day is olive presses. I just love the process of how olive oil is pressed and see how things were created.
The production.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So with the olive oil, I wanted to share it with people. And I knew a lot of international people, Americans, British, and so forth, who lived here in Rome. So I started organizing groups to take them to see how it was made and pressed and so forth. And then people on the group said, "You're a great cook. You should add some, like a lunch following the tour." So it kind of moved that way. And I left the banking. Our daughter obviously grew up. She now has two little children of her own. So I left the baby products thing and dedicated myself to the food and food mm-hmm. travel. And our daughter went off to college. We had extra space in our home, which is quite a large villa in the countryside of Rome. Mm-hmm. A gorgeous location, Paolo, if you ever get down here. We're out of Rome. You look around and there are sheep and cows and stuff. But at the same time, you look out and you can see St. Peter's Dome. It's really quite fantastic. So I added in the concept of accommodation. Mm-hmm. And we still have an Airbnb, but the food has always been the food and travel and meeting with people, hearing their stories. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed taking people to see these things and try to make these things as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the name of my company, Flavor of Italy. Gives that sense of flavor in the sense of what you put in your mouth, and also the flavor and the feeling for the whole country.
Absolutely.
So that's it in a nutshell. Maybe not so much of a nutshell, but that's it.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yes. And I was thinking all throughout your fabulous stories, some things are meant to be, and looks like you were able to combine your business skills and your passion for food and Italy into something that became an important reality. And often I say, you know, these businesses, they don't just happen randomly. And these people are amazing, people like yourself, because they allow foreigners who have very little exposure to Italy to ease in and appreciate some aspects that would otherwise be fairly hidden. And you've been putting a lot of this content on your blog and podcast. So again, you're doing a fantastic service to let the real Italy known to your guests. So thank you for doing that.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. So maybe, Wendy, maybe we can talk a bit about both the website and the podcast and how those became a part of your business, for sure, but also a way for you to express yourself and communicate to a larger audience.
Sure, I'd be happy to. At this stage, and I'm about ready to reach an anniversary of 50 podcasts is coming up.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I've released one every Tuesday since I began, and my intention is to continue on that schedule.
Fantastic. Good for you. That's so hard to do so regularly. Yeah, I've been trying, but no, I've been failing that miserably.
Well, I have to say that it's really top priority for me. And to give you a little bit of a backstory on the podcast, it's something I've been wanting to do for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I had listened to some how to podcast shows. And the one thing they said was the surefire way to fail at podcasting is to not start it. And I kept trying, like everything.
Yeah.
I tried so many times and I just couldn't find my voice, or I couldn't find the right formula that worked for me, because I was thinking, how can I incorporate the local Italians in with the language thing, because my target market is English speaking people. But anyhow, I did find my way with it and have a formula that I'm really comfortable with. And I have to say, I love it. I had all my podcast equipment for about 4 years before I actually launched it.
Wow,
I know that sounds. I know it sounds crazy, but I had to get to the comfort level, and I found actually there's a wonderful woman, Michelle Di Pietro, mm-hmm. and she's on Instagram at Mangia with Michelle.
Okay, I can look it up.
And we met through the International Association of Culinary Professionals, mm-hmm. and we really work well together, podcasting wise. So it was with Michelle that I kind of got into a rhythm and a sort of a style that works for me. And now I love it and I don't think I'll ever give it up. Now, how does that tie into my website? Okay, mostly I've been doing food focused podcast, mm-hmm. but I did something, for example, with a fabulous Italian shoe designer, because for me, that is also the flavor of Italy. I mean, what is more quintessentially Italian than
Absolutely.
Beautiful shoes and style?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I try to reach out to as many different kinds of people as possible. And for every episode that I release, I also have a blog post that's associated with it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thrust. And yeah, that's it.
So impressive that you've been thinking about it. You had the equipment, you were still defining the formula. I think it speaks to your business acumen, right? You wanted to launch when you were ready. Instead, I'm more of a improvised podcaster, obviously. I was listening to a lot of podcasts. I had a past in Italy in a radio station, so I knew I liked to speak. And then after, I don't know, 15 years in Canada, I was comfortable enough to do it in English. But see, I started recording pretty much the same day with a friend of mine.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I published it. But again, you'll find a completely different style, a completely different technical finish or polish. And then throughout the episodes, some really poorly recorded ones too, but obviously they're a part of history now and they will
sure.
remain. Yeah. So I'm more like, you know, spontaneous. I follow my instinct and I make mistakes and I correct them as I go. Yes, that seemed to have started with, you know, a plan and then an execution, which is constant. And that's definitely recommended
yeah.
to engage with your audience in a kind of predictable way. So that's always very important. Fantastic, Wendy. That's so much to talk around this. I don't know where to start. Well, obviously, the main thing that comes to mind, and it's something that I always ask, is before moving to Italy, what was your image of Italy? Was there an idealization, a simplification, a misrepresentation at all? And then when you went there, was it a shock? Was it a revelation? How did it compare with what you had in mind?
Well, when I was in university, my undergraduate, before I got my master's in business, I wasn't sure what I wanted to study, and I studied languages. And that was, you know, English, literature, and so forth, and French. I did a junior year abroad in France. So I don't think I was thinking about Italy much because I was thinking so much about France. And you say you just kind of jump into things like you did with the podcasting.
Yeah.
Well, when I look back on it, I realized I didn't know my husband that well because we'd never lived in the same country, but I jumped into that and kind of relaunched my banking career over here. So that was a big jump. When I got here, I realized that there were some very deep cultural differences. And I have to say, some of them, it took a while for me to get on board with them and appreciate them and understand them. It takes, I think, years before you fully understand, for example, sense of humor of a country
yeah.
is so different. When we moved to England, my mom had passed away when I was very little, and my dad remarried an Australian woman, but that's very much of the British culture.
Right, yes.
She would be laughing at things on TV that we Americans were sort of looking at each other like, what? And I would say the same thing with Italy. Now I really get Italy. I hear different accents that tell me a lot about where the person's from. So it just takes time to absorb that and get on board with it. Some cultural things were families get together usually every Sunday. And I was thinking to myself, really? I'm going to spend every Sunday with my mother-in-law? I don't know. You know, these kinds of things. And I think she too was thinking to herself, he picked an American? Yeah, you know, so it was kind of a disconnect. And not easy. And language-wise, yeah, too, Paolo. Mm-hmm. I mean, the day we got married, my husband taught me the word for husband and wife. So I had no language background. And I would sit there and at lunch, and they were speaking this language I didn't understand. Yeah. And I was, so it was hard at first, but then I've really come to adore this culture. And I became extremely close to my mother-in-law, who passed away. She was over 90 years old when she passed away. And I learned so much culinary-wise. She had a narrow repertoire of things that she made, but what she made was amazing, and homemade pasta, wonderful things. I learned, I would almost want to include her as a major source of my culinary training, even though it was thoroughly informal.
Of course.
I love the sense of family here. And Italians love to, they don't have a sense of personal space in the way that, let's say, Canadians, where were, and, totally, and Americans. And I love that too, because I'm also very affectionate and this sort of thing. So it took me a while to really fall in love with the culture and the lifestyle here. And at this stage, Paolo, I would never leave Italy. Even if I was here by myself, I just cannot imagine living anywhere else.
That's so interesting. People say, you know, I'm an expat in Italy, just done, three words. And that's not how it goes. I relocated to Canada, you know, after university, and I experienced some of the same, not getting the jokes, learning English there. And then, you know, it takes a long time to ease in into the culture and understand why some things are important, why things rub people the wrong way, whether people want to be reserved. I cannot have the opposite problem in Canada, where people were very friendly, but at the same time, they didn't get past that, you know, courtesy stage. So you feel you can speak to them about anything. They're very good at letting you talk about yourself, but then they never tell you anything about themselves. And then after a while, you start to feel a little bit lonely. Like, maybe I'm weird. Maybe they don't talk to me because I'm not like them. So you wonder all these things, and it takes a while. Really, a lot of it has to do with language, I think. The knowledge of the place and the history of the place that you don't have as a foreigner. You don't get references. They talk about places. They talk about TV shows. They talk about, you know, I don't know, cars. And you don't have references. So you cannot connect, right?
Well, absolutely true. In fact, if I could throw in a little anecdote, I went to an event years ago, and someone, I think from the American Embassy, was speaking. Mm-hmm. And trying to convey topics and ideas to help new arrivals adjust to life in Italy. And the person said, and it really has stuck with me forever, when you become a part of a new culture, you have to look at that culture and understand what they value in the culture. Mm. So it might not be the same kind of a work ethic, or it might not be if a plumber says they're going to arrive at 8 and they arrive at 10, it's not because of any disrespect or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not a top priority for them. But that plumber, and maybe most Italians, can sing a Verdi opera. So
no,
those kinds of
no,
things,
not most,
but you know, but they, there's another sort of an understanding. So what's valued is different. And to fit into a culture and enjoy your brief or extended stay in a country, you have to kind of go with the flow of what they value within their culture.
True. Very true. Absolutely. Once you get that, you find that there's a big overlap with what you value as well. I think it's just finding it, and we can start to be absorbed and fit in enough. to have relationships and, you know, carry on living. Of course, we maintain our own identity too, when we never lose that.
Right.
I'm always going to be Italian and you're always going to be American, but now, you know, I have another aspect to it. So yes, it takes a while, but it's so rewarding. And like you said, that you never go back. I don't think I'll go back either. Not in that sense. So yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, so deep. Wow. This became extremely deep very quickly. Anyway, it's a lot of fun talking with you, Wendy. What's coming up for you on the website or on the podcast, of course? Can you reveal what you've been cooking?
Okay. One thing I would like to add to the website would be video.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. And quite frankly, I don't need to say this to you, but Italy is, the strong suit is not great internet service. And yeah, where out where we are in the country, I have had horrible internet until 1 week ago. And now we have a new service that has a whole different technical aspect to it. And everything is great internet wise, which means I can also do more video things, even live video things. So I'm starting to think about that more and trying to get myself in the mindset of being able to do some YouTube videos and so forth. So that is one thing. A passion project of mine is to publish a cookbook.
Awesome.
And it's just for myself. I'm not thinking, oh, that's going to be a great source of income. But it's something I've been wanting to do, and it's something I am working on now.
Wonderful.
Definitely, I want to keep going big time on the podcast. And I'm always anxious to hear ideas for new topics.
Awesome.
Now, you asked also what I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of told you what I'm cooking up intangibly. But what I'm cooking, sometimes I get inspiration following podcast episodes that I do.
Of course.
For example, a few weeks back, I did with the At Mangia with Michelle DiPietro, an episode on umami.
Yes.
Now, I, for whatever episode I do, like you, I'm sure, I do a lot of research. And I did for this one. I've been thinking about umami ever since. And I've realized and found through my research that one of the most umami-rich cuisines worldwide is actually Italy.
Counterintuitive, right?
Well, but if you think about some of the things, the most umami-rich fruit vegetable is tomato.
Yes, absolutely.
And what is umami made of? It's made of the presence of glutamates in food. Mm-hmm. So tomatoes and tomato paste in particular are very rich in glutamates. And then you think of foods that are aged are very rich in umami. So you think Parmesan cheese, aged Parmesan cheese, you think prosciutto. Umami rich in the biggest sense of all, perhaps, is the anchovy. And
yes,
Italians use so many anchovies. So I've been, since that episode, really working on umami. I've gotten all kinds of new kinds of miso to throw into foods. And I've been working on, and I just posted a recipe for a miso caramel sauce.
Nice. Yeah.
Yesterday. So people usually think of umami as savory and applying to savory dishes, but in fact, adding that slight savoriness to a dessert can just make it turn into a wow and elevate it to something incredible, nirvana-like.
Yes.
So I've used it in a dark chocolate icing, and it's incredible. A tablespoon of miso just throws it to the stars flavor-wise. So awesome. I guess I go through periods of pursuing different food things. Now I am also There's a woman called Julia Greiner, mm-hmm. and she and her husband have an incredible pasta making and cooking school here in Rome, which is suffering mm-hmm. because of the pandemic.
Right.
She's doing online things, but it's hard. It's hard. She's become, I did a podcast interview with her. She's what is known as a sfoglina, which is the hand-rolled Bologna-style pasta.
Right, pasta sfoglia.
And she really is a true sfoglina. Mm-hmm. So she's gone to these kind of Italian nationwide pasta-making
nice.
Competitions. She's incredible. So she was here one day and did a private pasta-making class for me. Pasta-making in the sense of rolling out this, what we call in Italian a sfoglia, which is a big sheet of pasta, and you need like a meter-long rolling pin.
Yeah, impressive. Yeah, I do know about it, but I don't think I can use it.
Right, but she showed me the technique, so I don't make hand-rolled pasta every day, but pretty close to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole magical technique, and it's wonderful to have your own handmade pasta. And guess what, Paolo? In the end, it's so much easier than rolling out in a pasta machine.
Yeah, especially if you're doing a small amount, like if it's not a restaurant. I mean, that changes
right,
things.
Right.
You know, it
of
would
course.
Be very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll share one other little food thing that's happened to me in the past week. And it kind of ties into the pandemic worldwide and what people are thinking about and doing food-wise. Mm-hmm. And that is this explosion and rebirth of bread making.
Yes.
Yeah, because people couldn't get yeast necessarily. So they started to make their own mother yeast. And
yep.
So a very dear friend of mine, her husband passed away last week. He mm-hmm. was not a young man, but he was too young to pass away. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But in his retirement, and this dates back many years, not just the pandemic, he has become a wonderful, from being a financial person, a wonderful cook and bread maker.
I see.
And I have inherited, and I'm so excited about it, over 50 bread making books he has. And I'm going to bring home today, Paolo, a piece of his mother yeast.
Wow.
So that's been alive for years.
Yeah.
And for me, it's sort of a way to keep him alive, because
yeah.
it's like his culinary child. It's something he created, and like balsamic vinegar,
yeah.
it really outlives us.
Yes, it does.
So that's kind of an exciting thing that
wow, yes.
Is happening food-wise.
So meaningful, Wendy. I actually started baking before the pandemic. I got my starter here from a friend, and yes, I've been getting better and better every week baking my loaf of bread. So it is something that I totally understand. And there's nothing that beats the flavor of a freshly baked loaf from a sourdough starter.
Definitely not. I mean, there is nothing like it. And, you know, that's one of the things that I really love in Italian culture, the passion for food and for things like that. For example, there's a grocery store chain, and the one that's nearby where we live, they have pizza taglio, you know, the big
right.
sheet pizza that they cut up and you buy a slice. I've been back in where they make it, and they have their own starter. They're not using like a purchase thing. They make their own starter. So there's the passion for food and to really do it in a traditional and heartfelt way.
Wonderful. Yeah, you're right. But making is everywhere, and your books will come really handy. So I'll keep an eye on your project, because definitely I'm super interested.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wendy, we're out of time for this episode. It has been wonderful talking with you. Thanks so much. You shared so much about you and your story and obviously your work there in Rome. And thanks so much for all you do to make Italian food known to the English-speaking world, which is a very large world. So thanks again.
Thank you so much, Paolo. It's been a pleasure.
Take good care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.